Hello and welcome back to Send Parenting Balance podcast. I'm Katie Walker and I talk all things autism, ADHD, and PDA. Oh, we're going to go straight in today with today's topic of parental well-being, burnout, and exhaustion, the SEND parent edition. I know a lot of you out there struggle a lot with burnout and don't prioritize yourselves as much as we should. I put myself in that bracket too because going through the day-to-day routines and interventions and dealing with all the meltdowns that the days bring with neurospicy children can mean that we don't get the time to prioritize ourselves, even if we wanted to. So let's start with the understanding and validation that you matter. You are under so much stress, anxiety, and exhaustion that you matter. The problem is, you're needed so much by your little people that you are likely running on an empty cup, but still pouring out of it into the children. You are likely an expert at masking and saying, I'm okay on the outside, but on the inside, you'll likely be needing a day off. A physical, but more importantly, a mental day off. How do I know? Because I forgot to prioritize myself for years, and sometimes I still get stuck in a rut when my own three neurospicy needs are high. I see you, I get it. The only way out is to be your own biggest supporter. You've got to learn how to direct all of that flexibility, patience, love, empathy, and time towards yourself. Hold up. Yes, I did. I said time. You're thinking at this point, what time? There's none left. I start the day startled with demands and meltdowns, and I end the day falling asleep on the sofa. Yeah, I hear you. We've got to get creative to make this work. Do you ever feel so exhausted and wonder why? I'm going to tell you. There is five different types of exhaustion, and we're going to delve right in with each of the different types of exhaustion because I hear a lot of people say that they are catching up on sleep where they can throughout the day, but it doesn't matter how much they catch up on sleep, they still feel tired. And that's because not all exhaustion is helped by more sleep. Let me explain. Parenting a neurospicy child comes with a type of exhaustion that trumps many other types. You can find yourself emotionally challenged, physically challenged, mentally challenged, and quite frankly, dog tired. Combine them together with little chance of respite, and there you have one extremely exhausted parent. How many times has somebody asked you if you're okay, and you've replied positively, like, I'm okay, but deep down the feeling is negative? It almost seems socially acceptable now to say hello, and the response is, I'm okay, I'm fine, every single time. I used to always feel exhausted, and yet sometimes more sleep was never actually the answer. It didn't make me feel any better sometimes, and I couldn't understand why. And this is when I started to look into exhaustion and the different types of exhaustion and how they all needed to be treated differently for positive outcomes. So there's five main categories of exhaustion: physical, mental, emotional, disconnection of values exhaustion, and lack of purpose exhaustion. If you're reading this list and believing that you now have or have had suffered one or all of these, then I promise you're not alone. Let me explain. Physical exhaustion is the easiest one. It occurs from sleep deprivation and overload to the body, such as too much exercise or too little sleep. And sleep is the best strategy to solve this type of exhaustion, and it should make you feel better if you catch up on some sleep. Mental exhaustion is created through mental overload, the stress between personal and professional loads, or the need to be on the go all day with thinking too much are very good examples. The best strategy to feel better from mental exhaustion is to attempt to switch off. You've got to switch off that brain that's constantly going. Reading a book, trying yoga or Pilates or meditation and relaxation are all really helpful methods. Emotional exhaustion is created by persistent emotions such as grief, frustration, relationship overthinking, anger, Upset, to name a few examples. Strategies for healing from emotional exhaustion are to try journaling, emotionally regulating, or speaking with a trained counsellor, professional, or perhaps a close friend. Disconnection values exhaustion occurs when disconnecting from our own character to adhere to the needs of someone else's expectations happen. This is a bit like masking. This can easily happen in a caring role, sacrificing yourself for the needs of someone else, which can be really draining and exhausting. Attempting to slice out slots of time to prioritize yourself so that you can find your own smile whilst caring for someone else is the best thing to try and feel some relief because you too are important. Lack of purpose exhaustion occurs when you feel that you're on autopilot. You sense something is missing, but you can't quite figure out exactly what. You may feel you're living life without fulfilling your own purpose. You'll need to take some time to connect with yourself again. If, like myself, you've had to miss out on your career or other aspects of life, this can create a lack of purpose exhaustion. Could you take on a new hobby that interests you, or an online learning class that you've always been interested in, or volunteering and helping others can have a great impact on completing purposeful work. You could look into looking after your own neurospicy children and consider that as purposeful work. So sleep is not going to cure all types of exhaustion. Too much sleep can help contribute actually to low mood and depression. So try and figure out which type of exhaustion you're feeling, and then trying to find simple solutions to fit into your busy lifestyle to make positive changes. Once you can understand and empathize with your own needs, you'll be better placed to work through them without the need to treat every exhausted day with sleep, which can sometimes be counterproductive. Find slots of time to do things that you require to function at your best. This is so important, yet often neglected in the busy days of parenting. Perhaps try and switch off the television half an hour earlier in the evening to enable you some time to trial some of these things. It may be that you've heard that list of five types of exhaustion and feel like right now, in the time of listening, you are dealing with them all, you're suffering with them all, and that's okay, that can happen. Can't magic you up an extra hour a day just for you. And even if I did, I wonder if you'd just spend that time catching up on emails, doom scrolling, or keeping busy, or if you would actually put you first. I think sometimes us parents can be functioning on autopilot. You have to be your own biggest supporter and get really creative with finding space for you too, alongside the care needs of the children. That means on some particularly busy days, our priorities may need to change. Perhaps the washing up can stay there. Do you really need to do the chores today, or can it wait? Personally, my washing basket is always on overspill, so what difference will one more day make? You need to look for those small slots of time in each day if you have neurospicy children, because chances are you won't find a big slot. And that way, you can be your biggest supporter by doing something for you, but little and often. Now, I used to feel like, what's the point? Because I'm just going to get interrupted anyway. But actually, when I started prioritizing myself and these small slots of time, I soon noticed that actually I wasn't interrupted all the time, and therefore it was worth giving a shot. So let me give you some examples of things I do or have done in the past to put something back for me, be my own biggest supporter. How can I feel good? Well, first of all, I run. Running to me is like an antidepressant. It's a natural antidepressant. I know running's not for everybody, but personally, it makes me feel good. Now, I only take 35 minutes a day. It's on a school day while my youngest is at school, and I just run 3 miles, 3.5 miles. Do I always want to go? No. Is the great feeling afterwards worth forcing myself through that feeling? Absolutely. It actually helps me emotionally regulate better because I'm feeling better. Now, obviously, if the children are home from school, or it's the weekend, I can't access running. So therefore, I will do things like skipping or hula hooping or an online yoga session, or I'll make up my own little 10 or 20 minute workout to do at home. And that's time that's just mine. Now, that's only 35 minutes in the day. I do have children that are school age, so that's definitely a little bit easier. However, when my youngest wasn't at school, I used to try and do it when he napped, which was very infrequent, but I would try my hardest to fit it in. Now, interestingly, I really take control over that 35 minutes first thing in the morning while my youngest is at school. And unless it's CAMS, which is the most important appointments in my view, I don't book in any appointments in that time. I don't book in any school appointments. I will make appointments around those times. I will not nudge that time because that time is mine and it's really important because I have to be really strong and patient and emotionally regulated for all three of my children. And I simply can't do it unless I put time aside to fill my own cup. Now, no one else is going to do it for me. I have to make sure I do it myself. And therefore, I do ensure that I do it myself. The other thing I do is I have been to counselling. Every week I saw a counsellor. It wasn't through the NHS because their waiting lists were too long. I reached out to a private counsellor and that helped me massively. It helped me to unpack my frustrations in a safe place where I wasn't judged and my feelings were validated. It enabled me to learn about myself and my own boundary setting and my own habits and things that might needed to have been tweaked. And it also just gave me a space to just not be busy. It forced me to stop and think about what it is I need, how I was feeling, and all of those other important things that as parents we can completely just chuck off the list. And it was the biggest help. I would advise anybody to do that. And if you get child-free time, try and make sure you do prioritize you in any way that works. These are just some suggestions. Other things I did. So my bedroom, I am in the process of changing it again, but I do try and make sure that it is a zen room. It's cleared of clutter. I've got nice snuggly blankets in there. I've got nice smelling candles. I've got a acupuncture mat, which I know isn't for everybody, but occasionally I will spend 4 or 5 minutes laying on there and it's just my space. So in between meltdowns, or if I need to take a breath or emotionally regulate during the day, or I just need some peace away from the sensory toys and the sensory mess, I can go into my bedroom, shut the door, and spend a couple of minutes in my own clear, zenful space. And actually, this has become something really important to me that I can't believe I didn't do it sooner. My room, a space for me to breathe. I'm entitled to that just as much as the children are. And I think we forget that. We do everything for the children. We make sure they've got their sensory spaces, and they've got places where they can emotionally regulate or take themselves away from the noise or the clutter or other siblings' meltdowns. But then do we do that for ourselves? Rarely. So it was quite nice that I have enabled myself to do that. And I must admit, I love it. I absolutely love it. The children also love it, which can be a bit of a hindrance at times, but it is a nice space for them too. I used this sitting on the landing time to do things. Let me explain. So I sit on the landing quite a lot of my day, either when the children are getting ready for bed, or they're in the bath, or they're on their tablets, or it's post meltdown. And sometimes they don't actually want to engage with me. They're usually on screens, but I do need to be present, particularly things like bathing. So I will sit on the landing where I can be seen and accessed by the children if need be, and I will put a headphone in. I can listen to audiobooks or podcasts. Occasionally I've done meditation, or occasionally I just listen to my favorite music. I don't get to play music in the house because the children only like what the children like, and so it's my opportunity to find a little bit of me. Now, I'm going to be honest, in that time, I could quite easily be folding up the washing upstairs or making the beds or putting the toys away, anything that's on the same level as them. But I choose to prioritize me in that time. That can all wait. That will just keep going anyway. The mess keeps going. It will still be there tomorrow. And when I tidy it up tomorrow, it will still be there the next day. So prioritizing me in that time is really important. And it gives my brain something to think about other than the children and their needs. Walking is a good, really good one for me. I often walk with the dog, only on a school day, of course, when my youngest is in school and around my middle child's home education classes. But what that does is it enables me to listen to podcasts and get in my own space. Cooking healthy meals makes me feel good about myself. This is something that I've started doing a little bit more of. When you're really busy, it can be really common to just go from A to B, rush around, and just living on cereal or crisps or whatever I could and not eating properly. And it always made me feel really yuck and really sluggish. Also, because the children have aphid, I'm cooking so many different meals that are all bird's eye freezer based meals like chicken nuggets and waffles. If you know, you know. And actually, I just couldn't be bothered to cook another meal. It was just easier to cut me off and have a bowl of cereal. But actually, I'm getting better at cooking healthy meals. But I only do it once every few days because I'll make sure I cook enough to put in the fridge so that I don't have to cook the next day and I've got leftovers. So I'm not cooking every single day, which helps also. I do learn to prioritize. I do learn to leave the washing up. It really doesn't matter if it's still there in the morning, as long as I've had a little bit of time to me. Because as I said in the beginning, if you don't prioritize you, nobody else is going to. And you can only show off and be the best version if you can with the children if someone is prioritizing you. So if nobody else in the house can, it needs to be yourself. Another thing that I do is journaling. I don't do all these every day, by the way, otherwise it sounds like I'm living the most amazing life. These are just occasional things, and I will choose things that suit the children. So if the children are having a particularly bad day and I've only got 5 minutes, I might just choose one of these things. Journaling allows me to kind of brain dump. I do guided journaling, so there's questions for me to think about, how do I feel? How has my day gone? What could I do better tomorrow? And it just helps me have the time to think about me, because interestingly, that's something that never happens. And to just kind of get in my own brain space, which is really good. Laughing is very good. Finding funny TikToks or funny videos on YouTube or following your favorite comedian is the best thing. And try and fill your social media feeds with it. Let the algorithms pick up on who it is you want to watch, because these really can brighten your day. So if you do find yourself doom scrolling, then you're actually scrolling and getting something from it, and you're making social media work for you. I think when you're a send parent or carer, so much of the day can be doom and gloom and really difficult, and a lot of parental emotional regulation, that actually just to have a laugh is totally underrated. Laughter is the best medicine. And if you can try and push that in your TikToks or your Insta or your Facebook, then even better. Another thing that I do is my own little facials. Now, I know this sounds really silly, but a couple of times a week, I will spend 4 or 5 minutes before bed doing the whole toner, exfoliating, moisturizing, and serum. And for me, that just makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I've done something for me, and yet it takes minutes, 3 to 5 minutes tops. And yeah, I literally feel like a new woman. It's so good to do. And for some people, I guess they might like getting their nails done or they might like doing their hair. For me, it's just having skin that feels glowy and wonderful. So be your own supporter. Otherwise, you can suffer burnout. So, what can happen with burnout? And I'm sure many of you have suffered burnout if you're a carer to neurospicy children, is if you're ignoring your own needs over and over and over and over again, then your body says, nope, we're done. And it will make you rest for 2 to 3 days, and you can become physically unwell. Stress has a lot of physical symptoms, and I'm a great believer that the body always keeps score. It's okay to tell your children, mummy or daddy, need a minute to breathe. We need a minute to find our smile. Because, of course, it's teaching them that it's important to put you first. It's important that mental health is important. It's showing them that. If you schedule it in, it's probably more likely to happen. We've got to remember that stress can affect the body physically and mentally in so many ways. If anyone's ever experienced stress, they'll give you many different accounts of how it's displayed in the body and mind. We seem to work really hard on keeping physically fit as a society. For example, we may consider healthy nutrition or understanding the importance of sleep or knowing the amount of exercise we should be doing each day. But it's really difficult to understand the severity of mental health issues if you've never experienced them. If you have experienced them, then you'll know it takes a lot of strength to pull yourself back out again. So we should be promoting those preventative methods to protect our mental health, just like we have with the positive habits for physical health. Over the last 6 years, I've learned that my body does not cope well with stress whatsoever. Prolonged stress really has put my health at serious risk. I am very good with exercise, and I exercise daily, like I've said, with my running. My daily steps are pretty high because I do the dog walks, and I have very energetic children. I'm quite careful with the food that I enjoy, and so you would assume that I'm really healthy. However, last year I was under so much stress with the children and trying to meet all of the children's neurospicy needs that I was always poorly. I had tonsillitis twice or three times. I had various coughs, colds. I had sinusitis, which I had never had before. I had the flu and ended up in A&E, and I had regular bursts of iron deficiency. Now, these are all physical effects of high stress and not enough sleep. Some evenings I was only getting 6 hours sleep, but more often or not, it would have been 4 disturbed hours due to the sleep disorders in my house. This just wasn't good, and it didn't matter how much my children needed. I'm only human, and therefore my body feels the effects of the children's needs. So over the last 6 years, mentally, I have suffered bouts of anxiety, panic attacks. The combination of all of these aspects is just not a healthy picture at all. So although some people see me out running and they think, oh, there she goes, she must be really healthy, the stress absolutely can overtake that. It's really tricky. Stress definitely affects the body physically, and we need to be really proactive in making sure we are putting ourselves as priority and putting aside those times, even if it is just 2 or 3 minutes, to try our best to unwind, to release that stress. Incorporating stress-reducing activities, like some of the things that we were talking about when we are prioritizing ourselves, whether it be taking a breather in a nice chilled out room with a snuggly blanket and a nice smelling candle, or prioritizing that hot bath, or trying some meditation, or going for a run, reading a book, or listening to an audio book or a podcast, or perhaps following some funny social media pages to make you laugh, or reaching out to a friend, a FaceTime, or maybe some other send parents that really understand what you're going through, so you can start a chat forum perhaps. All of these stress reducing activities is a real key to trying to regulate yourself. If your mind and body has been held in fight or flight response over a prolonged period of time, then you have to kind of train your body not to be in the mode, not to be in that mode of fight or flight. So it can take time, but be patient and don't give up. Consistency is key. You need to really try hard to give yourself regular opportunities through the day to fit in you. I know that time is scarce, and I know that you are exhausted. So thinking about those ways of healing exhaustion very slowly, the different types of exhaustion, along with kind of putting your well-being first, are actually the same kind of activities. So all you need to do is find a few moments throughout each day. A really good example is a meltdown. If your child has a meltdown, then invariably they're really exhausted afterwards and they need some time to regulate themselves. And everything goes a little bit calm for a moment, doesn't it? And they may need some time on their tablet or their screens just to kind of emotionally regulate themselves, step out of the situation before they can restart again. Well, let me ask you, do you give yourself that same opportunity? I went through years of not giving myself that same opportunity. I have learned that I cannot be strong. I cannot keep pouring from an empty cup. And I also can't keep waiting for someone else to fill it. I've got to try and fill it myself. And I am able to do that with just a few moments of each day. So today's overall message is please be your biggest supporter. Make sure that you are giving some of that strength, flexibility, empathy, patience, and determination that you place within your own parenting responsibilities back onto yourself to try and create a better balance. As always, my website is www.sendparentingbalance.com. Use the Contact Me page to reach out if you need to speak to me or have any questions. I hope you're kind to yourself today. Take care.